I think that's why David is a man after God's own heart. We find there are a lot of flaws in David. There's a lot of weaknesses that David acts on in his life, but he's a man after God's own heart because when he's busted, when his heart is revealed, when he recognized how he sinned against the Lord and how he's caused this calamity, the death of the priest of Nob, he takes it upon himself. Yeah, he sees that Doeg, that evil man, and Saul did this as well, but I am the one that caused it because I'm the one that lied.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22.
We'll be blessed because we came. You will be blessed because
David departed from there, and he'd escaped to the cave of Adullam. And one of his brothers and all his father's household heard of it. They went down there to him, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, gathered to him, and he became captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him. Now we do know that David ends up with 600 mighty men, but these were those that were disillusioned with the erratic behavior of King Saul. He is so erratic and so temperamental, and he's a leader that you just don't want to follow. I mean, if he wasn't the king of Israel, you'd probably find people rejecting him, but he's the king of Israel, and Samuel anointed him. So by necessity, they must follow until God deposes him. I mean, sometimes we have leaders, we have presidents, and we basically have to put up with them. I mean, the people elected them, and then you find that they turn out not to be maybe what the people thought they were, but you have to endure until their time is up. But boy, what an opportunity to pray for our country and pray for the leaders and pray that we have good, honest people raised up. I think it's interesting what happened in this election. It's nothing new under the sun. Can you imagine as Saul was reigning for all the many years that he reigned? So David, here are those you think they're kind of society's rejects, distressed, in debt, discontented. Well, maybe so, but I'll tell you, David, through his leadership, he just influenced them. They were a crack force of military men that followed David and very loyal to him. They didn't always have the right counsel for David. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But boy, David's influence and David's leadership really turned these individuals into credit-worthy individuals. And good leadership will do that with people and with a nation. Well, he goes on, and David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother come and stay with you until I know what God will do for me." So Mizpah, literally watchtower, a place that overlooks, and that's Moab, the hills of Moab. But remember that David's father, Jesse, do you remember who his grandmother was? It was Ruth. Ruth, she was from Moab. And so here David takes his father and his mother and they go back to David's great-grandmother, his father's grandmother's home area, and keeps them safe there. Who knows what Saul would do? Usually you find that. You find that these type of rulers that Saul is will retaliate on the family members. And so David, you know, takes them and hides them and keeps them safe. It's kind of like the mob. The mob retaliates, you know, with the family. Or desperate kind of rulers will do the same thing. They will destroy the entire family, you know. And so David is taking care that they are cared for. So he goes on, then he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold there at, the term stronghold is the Hebrew word Masuda. And many believe as Gad tells him, well, let me read it in verse 5. And the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold, depart and go into the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. So he was in the stronghold, or that area of Masuda that we would know as Masada, on the eastern side of the Dead Sea. We were there. That's a stronghold. It's a place. It's a plateau that really overlooks. You could see if any army was coming. It's an incredible place. We took the snake trail up to the top of that, but that would be a stronghold. But here the prophet comes, Gad, says, no, not there. Flee to Hereth. Then Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered. Now Saul was sitting in Gibeah under the tamarisk tree at the height with his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing around him. Now, you have Gibeah to the north, you have Nob a little more to the south, and then a little more to the south, you have Jerusalem. So they're only a few miles apart. And but David is now fled to Hereth, and Saul said to his servants, verse 7, who stood around him, hear now, O Benjamites, will the son of Jesse also give to all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? I think it's interesting. Things haven't changed much, have they? Saul is a Benjamite. Now he's talking to his own party, his own people. He's bribing them. He's favoritism. And that's usually what they do. If you're of one political party or you have that mentality, you're going to put your people, no matter how bad they are to, you know, to serve in that area, you're going to put them in charge. And that's really what Saul is doing. He's bribing them. It's kind of like a welfare thing. Hey, you're Benjamites. I'm a Benjamite. And hey, who can give you what I can give you? And so he's really favoritism, bribing, welfare kind of thing, and trying to motivate them through that kind of attitude, horrible kind of attitude. And so he said, for all of you have conspired against me, so that there is no one who discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you who is sorry for me. Oh, poor Saul, that poor man. Or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in ambush as it is this day, which is totally untrue. He's paranoid at this point. Saul is really kind of on the point of insanity. He's jealous. He's paranoid. So much is going on. This man is so unstable at this point. David has been his greatest, you know, his greatest asset there in the kingdom. He's been on his side. He has not lifted a finger against him. Jonathan, although he had a great relationship with David, they didn't conspire. He wasn't lying in wait for him. He's just absolutely paranoid, and the jealousy has done that. I think jealousy can do that. When you begin to cultivate jealousy and envy of something or someone else, it really creates a mild insanity that can turn to a paranoia. And I think for what Saul is dealing with, it's not just a mild insanity. You can see that he turns into a very evil kind of person. And so you find that none of you are sorry for me, poor me. They're just, you know, probably don't want to open their mouth. If they open their mouth, you know, Saul will use that against them. Then Doeg, the Edomite, who was standing by, the servants of Saul, answered and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. So Doeg, oh, he wants to get in good graces with Saul. So he begins to tell his story. But wait a minute. We don't find that Ahimelech consulted the Lord for David. You don't find that at all. He just asked David a couple questions. He didn't say, well, let me pray and let me go before the Lord. So here, Doeg is lying. I mean, you can call him Doeg or you can call him a dog because that's what he is. He is just really an evil, plotting kind of guy. And so, yes, he gave him provision. He gave him a sword. He doesn't tell him about the fact that David said that he was on Saul's business. He didn't say, well, I saw him and I heard him say that he was on business for you, Saul, that he came to him and he said he was on a mission for you. Didn't say that. Just wanted to get in good with the king. And so he goes on. Then the king sent someone to summon Ahimelech, the priest, and the son of Ahimelech and all his father's household and the priests who were in Nob and all of them came to the king. And Saul said, listen now, son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. Now at this point, Ahimelech hasn't got a clue. He doesn't know there's a division between Saul and David. He doesn't know there's animosity on Saul's part. And Saul then said to him, why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me in that you have given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him, and he should rise up against me by lying in ambush as it is this day. That must have took Ahimelech by surprise. What? No. David came and he was on commission for you. I mean, David, there's no one greater in your kingdom. There's no one that has fought your battles more. What are you talking about? He absolutely hasn't got a clue. And Ahimelech answered the king and said, who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Even the king's son-in-law, who is captain over your guard and is honored in your house. He's your son-in-law, and I don't know what you're talking about. Did I just begin to inquire of God for him today? Far be it from me. Do not let the king impute anything to his servant or to any of his household of my father, for your servant knows nothing at all of this whole affair. And the king said, you shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's household. Jealousy is an evil, hard taskmaster. And that's what we find with Saul. Not only jealousy, but paranoia. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:4, wrath is fierce, anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? Ahimelech gives an honest, you know, assessment of what really went on, but jealousy is not, you know, you can't stand before jealousy. No way. He says, surely you're going to die in your father's household. Again, Proverbs 6:34. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Do you think maybe Solomon, when he wrote this, he was thinking of Saul? He was thinking of his dad's predecessor, the first king of Israel? And then his dad, Solomon's dad, came on the scene, and then Solomon? Do you think he remembers everything that Saul had done, and so he writes this? Who will spare in the day of vengeance? And that is Saul. And the king said to the guards who were attending him, turn around and put the priest of the Lord to death, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew that he was fleeing and did not reveal it to me. But the servants of the king were not willing to put forth their hand to attack the priest of the Lord. They were dumbfounded. They heard both sides. They heard Ahimelech. And I'm sure that they understood, hey, Ahimelech, this guy is innocent. And so they just stood as stone when Saul commanded to put him to death. You don't do anything like that unless the priest have committed idolatry, unless they have gone after other gods. But notice this horrible decree that Saul is giving. Then the king said to Doeg, you turn around and attack the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned around and attacked the priest, and he killed that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. Doeg killed 85. 85. Doeg the Edomite. Did you expect anything else, anything less from an Edomite, the son of Esau, or a descendant of Esau? Is it any wonder that God said, Jacob do I love, but Esau have I hated? Doeg was a descendant of Esau, or the Edomites. Somehow God knows the evil within the heart of a people, or even a race of people. Oh, there are a few good apples there, you know. But here, the descendant of Esau, the Edomite, whom God has hated. And then notice verse 19, and he struck Nob. And so they went up to Nob, and the city of the priest, with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and infants, also oxen, donkey, and sheep. And he struck with the edge of the sword. I think it's so interesting that Saul utterly destroyed that which was of God, the priest, and that priestly city, but he utterly ignored the command of God when God said, utterly destroy the Amalekites, where Saul and all that is in the city, where Saul kept the best of the flocks. He preserved Agag. Notice how rebellious this man is. His heart is really beginning to show. And that's usually what happens over time. You know, we might hide, you know, some of the things that are going on inside of us, but eventually they'll be revealed. And you see, those that God uses, when they are revealed, we say, God, forgive me. Lord, I lift that up to you. Lord, I repent. Because that's exactly what David's going to do. Notice this. But one son, verse 20, one son of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the priest of the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar, I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have brought about the death of every person in your father's household. Stay with me, do not be afraid, for he who seeks my life seeks your life, for you are safe with me. Notice how David took that guilt upon himself. Saul did the dirty deed, but David said, I'm the cause of it. I think that's why David is a man after God's own heart. We find there are a lot of flaws in David. There's a lot of weaknesses that David acts on in his life. And as we go on, we're going to see those. But he's a man after God's own heart, because when he's busted, when his heart is revealed, when he recognized how he sinned against the Lord and how he's caused this calamity, the death of the priest of Nob. He takes it upon himself. You know, yeah, he sees that Doeg, that evil man, and Saul did this as well, but I am the one that caused it, because I'm the one that lied. Here, Abiathar, the last son, or in the line of Eli, you find that Abiathar does become the priest for David. Notice how the priesthood, all those that would inquire of the Lord to really set that kingdom, the kingdom of Saul and Israel, on the right path, notice Saul destroys it. He obliterates it. And now the only priest that's left with the ephod, that which you wear to discern the will of the Lord, goes now to David. Interesting how it all moves to David. And Abiathar does stay as David's priest until David's death. And even in the time of David's son Solomon, should have been the priest at that time. But remember, when one of the sons of David, Adonijah, he tries to usurp kingship, Abiathar follows him. And then when Solomon now is coronated king, you find that he deposes Abiathar. So Abiathar is out of office after that. So the very prophecy that you find that we gave in 1 Samuel chapter 2 over Eli does come to pass at that time. Incredible situation here, and what a contrast with this man Saul and David. God knows the heart, and I think it's so important for us to recognize that. You know, when we make decisions, and that's why the Bible says, don't lay hands on any man suddenly. We need to pray. Sometimes you could put somebody in ministry, or you can elect somebody, or somebody is ruling, you know, they put them in office, or they put them in the church office or something. You don't pray over that, you know, and you find that you've made a big mistake. It's harder to get people out than it is to get people in. So we need to have a lot of prayer that goes into the elections or the appointing or laying hands on somebody, or when you're raising somebody up, you need to have the direction and the mind and the heart of the Lord. And that's, I think, what we see here, because what a contrast. This man that Saul turned out to be, such promise in the beginning, but man, what a downward slide. What a horrible leader that he became.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel 21 and 22. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel 23 and 24. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.